It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. By the way, for those who are playing the home game, and by that I mean Sarah Dillon, I was just checking my email, and I got about 75 emails in a row, and the subject lines are all variations on the phrase, "You sound fine."
Good.
In your face, Scotty J. All right, it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program, broadcasting from a remote location today. Trying very hard to keep my center, trying very hard to stay zen.
You're doing a good job.
Oh, thank you for your lies.
You know why we're so much better? Because we're here with Tim Riley.
Thank you for your lies that spare my feelings. Let's listen to Bryan Adams for just a moment here. This is a fantastic. Let's all, can we all agree? Look, young or old, white or black, rich or poor, gay or straight, we can all agree that this is a fantastic piece of music right here.
I have to say, I was first introduced to Bryan Adams. For everything I do it for you.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I was a DJ when that song came out. It was number one for, I'm turning
that
into Don Geronimo.
That was the same time as Whitney Houston's I'll Always Love You, I remember.
It was around the same time, and Whitney Houston's Don't Call Me Susan, or My Name Is Not Susan, came out. I was a DJ at OK95 FM when this song came out from the Robin Hood Prince of Thieves soundtrack. And I've talked about this in Bigger Than Jesus, but we did this thing every night called the Hot 10 at 10, which is the 10 most requested songs. And this was number one. I don't think it was number one on the Billboard charts for 14 weeks. It was like 9 weeks. But on the Hot 10 at 10, this was number one for like 14, 15. I mean, it was months and months. Or not this, but Everything I Do It For You. What a great song this is, though. I'm a sucker for songs about, like, coming-of-age songs and that thing about standing on your daddy's porch. The great thing about songs like this, the real Malcolm McLaren part of me really attaches to songs like this because they are sort of so cannily written in many ways. Because it's totally an insert-yourself-here song. And I'm a sucker for songs about guys who start bands, by the way.
Like a Bruce Springsteen song?
Totally. Well, that's totally what this is. It's Springsteen filtered through John Cafferty, filtered through, like, a Miller Gold commercial or whatever it is. Oh, no, Miller Gold is that, that talent firm they started Entourage. Hello!
Oh, yeah!
Is it loud where you are? Ladies and gentlemen of the Ministry of Truth, it's the only good thing in this godless universe, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Leave your levels alone and turn Tim up a hair. Other than that, and I've gotten a lot of emails that say this, you all sound better than normal here in Salem, says Egan.
Because we can all breathe.
Thank you. At long last, I can breathe. I can breathe. It is Tim Riley.
Paris Hilton is warning teens about the dangers of drunk driving.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Us Weekly reports a 25-year-old who currently faces one misdemeanor count of driving under the influence will appear on the December cover of 17 in a full-page PSA inside the magazine. She warns, all it takes is one drink to mess you the way you drive.
Okay, well, see, but, you know, why she's doing that is because she's sticking to this obvious fabrication that she only had the margarita, that she only had the one drink, which is, of course, a complete load of crap. So that's what this is all about. This email says, Rick, this is great, says this email. What a performance. This is really convincing acting. I actually believe that I'm listening to a radio show that has gone completely off the tracks due to a million technical problems. It's not an easy thing to do, and you have done it very nicely. I am convinced. Well done, a-hole. I will continue listening to the entire show because I am fascinated, Rick. I want to see if and how you guys pull yourself out of this black downward spiral, or if the show just explodes. after pooping itself.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nate. There you go. Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Paris Hilton continues. It clouds your judgment and slows your reflexes. Don't take any chances. It just isn't worth it. Hilton has claimed that when she was stopped by LAPD in Hollywood September 7th, she had consumed only one drink.
That's what I'm saying, right there.
According to authorities, Hilton was given a field sobriety test that resulted in a blood alcohol level of 0.08, the minimum level for a DUI arrest in California. She now faces anything from probation to an alcohol treatment program to a $1,000 fine and 6 months in jail. Her arraignment set for December 5th.
This email says, Rick, what's up with, all within earshot of my radio. I truly enjoy you and the gang on a daily basis up here at Pill Hill, but what's up with today's bumper music? God damn. Get it all out of your system today, please. Hopefully tomorrow is a new day music. No. Today they're going to continue with this music for the foreseeable future. This is fair. Because, I mean, the CDs are just sitting on the back.
They're just sitting there taunting
us. Just sitting there, not being used. We should take them back over to Coin with us. And so forth.
Please,
all right.
Please make me into a format.
I served the 25 to 54-year-old female demographic so well, and now I'm tossed out. You know what the CDs in the back of the studio are? The CDs really are like the old wife that gets tossed over for the new wife. That's what they really are. It's for the moving 107.5 trophy girl.
Last year's minivan.
Here's Tim Riley.
Time for the clergy one.
Oh, those always make me feel better. Here's your clergy watch.
Would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith. Because I got faith, the faith, the faith. I gotta have faith, the faith, the faith.
Should I have warned you ahead of time that this comes from Miami?
Miami. Oh, no. That's me. That's all me.
Oh, I can't find it.
Yeah! Eat it!
That was me.
That was all me, baby.
Oh, shit.
Another former altar boy says he was sexually abused in the 1970s by the same retired Catholic priest who acknowledged fondling former Representative Mark Foley. When Foley was a teenager, the man's attorney came up with this. The new allegations against the Reverend Anthony Mercisa were made up by a man who lived in North Miami and was an altar boy at St. James Catholic Church. Apparently, he planned to file a lawsuit Wednesday against the Archdiocese of Miami. The client now, who is 40, is identified as in the lawsuit as John Doe, number 26. He said the priest abused him when he was 12. He'd been thinking about it until Foley came forward, and then when Foley came out and the church encouraged others, well, why not? The priest is now 69, living in the Maltese island of Gozo in the Mediterranean. Nobody answered his phone in Gozo early this morning. So that's that.
And apparently, this is actually one of the things that we, in our fond imaginings this morning, thought we were going to be talking to Bob Costantini about. But I'm unclear. We were talking to Lisa Goddard about this the other day, and we were all really unclear about where it is that Mark Foley actually is at this point. We were unsure about whether he was still ensconced
in Texas.
In rehab. And that's the thing, is I saw it on like an old 97 show in Texas. So it was all, well, I saw Dennis Hastert on television this morning, by the way, just urging everybody to get past this Foley matter as quickly as possible, because they're only like, what, 15, 16 some days out from the election, something like that? So,
and gas prices are going down.
Yes, we've all got glorious jobs and a bright new future, thanks to our leader. All right, there you go. There's your clergy watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Because I got to have faith. Oh, I got to have faith. Because I got to have faith, faith, faith. I got to have faith, faith, faith.
Let's see, we've got an email from Todd the Corpse here.
Come on.
Rick. You actually do sound pretty okay today. The irony of today's show is that I've finally convinced, after many months, to get one of my friends to listen to the show. He just emailed me and said that your show was confusing him. All right, well, there you go. Thank you. There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Increasing that share with every passing moment. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Eyelash treatments are sweeping the nip-tech world. Dateline Los Angeles. Think you've seen it all when it comes to cosmetic surgery? Well, look more closely. Eyelash transplant surgery wants to become the new must-have procedure for the ladies and the occasional man. I'm convinced that beauty is not so much in the eye of the beholder as in front of the eye itself. Using procedures pioneered by the hair loss community.
Pioneered. This is this the year where they take the help in the back of your scalp?
Well, surgeons are using plug-and-sew techniques to give women long, sweeping lashes once achieved only by gluing on extensions and thick lashes or mascara. And just like human hair, and that is the origin, by the way, these lashes just keep on growing. This is a brand new procedure for the general public, and it's going to explode.
I have fantastic eyelashes, by the way, and not enough people know that about me.
It fills as the world's first live eyelash surgery workshop. About 40 surgeons are coming to it from around the world.
Now, but if they're taking...
So where are they taking the hair from to make it thick and bristly enough?
Oh, a small incision is made in the back of the scalp, and they remove 30 to 40 hair follicles.
This is exactly the medical hair restoration.
So do you have to trim them?
Well, that's my question. Okay.
The eyebrow clip for men.
Let me read this. Let's see. Using procedures pioneered by the hair loss industry for balding men, that would be medical hair restoration. Surgeons are using plug and sew. That's an unfortunate name, is what that is. Plug and, that's like that baby. It's baby plug and sew.
Nip and pearl.
To give women long, sweeping eyelashes once only achieved by gluing on extensions and thick lashings of mascara. And just like human hair, for that is the origin, these lashes just keep on growing. So I bet you have to trim them. I bet if you don't, it just keeps on growing out. There's small incisions made. This is exactly medical hair restoration. I knew it. See, this is not a plug here, so to speak.
That would be scary to transplant hair into your eyes.
Here's the thing. Okay, can I just talk about medical hair restoration for a second? You know, this is what I had
and
done.
What if it grows down instead of up the way they're supposed to, and you just have hair hanging in your eyes from your eyelids?
Hair gets in your eyes. It's not unlike smoke. Hmm. If I really knew smoke gets in your eyes, that'd be a funnier joke. How does the melody "The Smoke Gets in Your Eyes" go, Tim?
I'm sure I can find it somewhere.
The hair gets in your eyes.
How long do you want me to get
this show ever? This show is genius. No, but that's what they did with me. People have asked about the medical hair restoration. It's the same thing. They along the back of your scalp, sort of, again, as I always say, like the Jean-Luc Picard area there where there is hair. That's where they take the hair follicles from. And then they transplant them in. It's like a skin graft almost. It would top of your head, blah, 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 blah. So that's obviously what they're doing with this. But that means that they must just continue to get longer the longer you have them. Unless you have really stiff, bristly hair, it seems like they're not really going to arch up the way that eyebrows would. It seems like, you're just going to be like having a broom hanging in front of your face. It doesn't make any sense at all. Aaron and I were talking about this, though. I think it was Aaron. We were talking about the medical hair restoration. And I was noting what they really ought to do is like a gag, like a radio station, just a sort of a goof. Attention, zany FM DJs. This is what you could do for some sort of a medical hair restoration promotion, where like a guy does what I did, where he gets the hair taken off the back of his head, but instead of putting it on the top of his head, he just puts it inside his nose, or just like on one of his cheeks. You know what I mean? So they get like a normal looking guy, and
or a really long soul patch.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, so where it just goes down to the floor, like some sort of a Muppet like character or something. The surgery is not for everybody. The transplanted eyelashes grow just like quote head hair end quote.
Gross.
And need to be trimmed regularly and sometimes curled. Very curly head hair makes for eyelashes with too much kink. Oh, so this is if you were a Negro and you had then you might have overly curly eyelashes. Well, that's obviously what they're implying. They're not saying that, but they're saying that you... That
white
only...
people have really curly hair, too.
Well, if you had some, like a Jew fro of some kind, perhaps, then it might not work. Well, no, that's...
I don't think you're allowed to say that unless you're Jewish.
Oh. Hello there. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
I'm all confused.
That's an accepted term. People know what that means. It's not...
It's fine.
Hello. It's not a racist term in any way.
Not at all.
How else is one supposed to explain it? Many of our Hebrew brothers do have hair with a lot of curl to it. Mm-hmm. What are you looking at? This is the best show ever. Here is Tim Riley.
Now for something totally different. It's Paul McCartney's one-legged, soon-to-be ex-wife.
Here's your Paul McCartney's one-legged, soon-to-be ex-wife watch for Wednesday, right here with the Rick Emerson radio program.
Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need some.
Jones last night threatened to sue the Sun, as supermodel Kate Moss became the latest to expose her as a liar. Lady Mecca, I have no idea where she's
now. That's what they call it. Because Paul McCartney is Mecca in Britain. The British people are weird. They describe bizarre nicknames to everybody because Madonna is Madge and Paul McCartney is Mecca. And so because everybody is sort of opposed to, because everybody dislikes her intensely, she is Mecca. That's what the Sun has taken to calling her. And the Sun especially hates her because she's one of the papers that she's suing. Heather Mills talking about suing the Sun. And so they got no love for her.
Well, Lady Mecca has inspected lawyers to take action after details of her marriage split with Sir Paul McCartney were published last week. Her legal team claimed that there have been false, damaging, and intensely upsetting statements about the former model, but it's not clear exactly what she does to plan to sue about it. The Sun has vigorously defended any legal action. At one point, the papers said the one-legged Heather said that she had to crawl to the toilet at night.
One-legged Heather is like a Wenatchee banana. I totally gave that. Or it would be like a thing a girl gives to you. That girl gave me the one-legged Heather.
This after ex-Beatle Paul, 64, objected to her using a bedpan in their bedroom.
Well, seriously, use the bathroom like everybody else. Just because you're missing a leg doesn't mean you can poo inside a tray in the bed.
I
think that's what it does mean.
No, it doesn't.
If somebody's laying in a hospital bed with one leg, they bring him a tray.
She's not in a hospital bed. She's in Paul McCartney's house, and he's worth $5 billion.
Things, it's dark at night.
If you're marrying the Paul McCartney has got, I don't know, $1 jillion. I mean, you could get one of those things like that chick had in Gremlins. It's like a little, like a chair and a rail that just takes you to the bathroom and back. What's the point of being for... If you're worth $400 million and you got a poo in your bed, really, then money can't buy happiness, I guess, really is the lesson there. And dreams really don't come true.
Well, a friend of Kate said, Kate reassured Stella that she knew Heather was a liar because she had seen her hopping around.
That's fantastic. Well done.
She said that she was jumping around like an effing gazelle is preparing to swear to it in court if necessary.
A sort of tilty gazelle.
Heather is extremely athletic, not the sort of person to crawl anywhere. Then here were lies which show that she was not getting a reputation to defend. Lie number one, according to this newspaper.
Look, this is according to the Sun.
Mm-hmm. Lady Mecca frantically denied working as a prostitute, but in July it emerged that she was a 5,000-pound-a-night hooker whose clients included arms dealer,
that guy Khashoggi.
Some
Brian,
foreigner.
Brian, yeah.
Line number two, Heather told Sir Paul that she only had been a topless model. In June, they revealed that she was snapped in a string of pornographic poses for German sex manuals.
Which is where she's all greased up and whatnot. And by the way, it's not the creepy thing is when they call it not a German sex magazine, not a German sex publication, but a German sex manual, which is especially unnerving when you consider that the Germanic peoples have a very, I don't know, when you say German sex manual, it's just like a whole lot of like, and now you will put tab A into slot B, and you will feel a tingly sensation, and so forth. But if you look at those photos, it's like she's been slathered in some kind of really, like, inexpensive margarine. She's kind of like a sort of a, like a buttery coating all over her.
Lie number three, her first husband, Alfie Carmel, has branded her a compulsive liar who left him for a ski instructor named Milos. Lie number four, former childhood pal Margaret Ambler threatened to sue Heather over her claims that they were abducted and sexually abused as kids. Margaret, who's now 40, insists it was only her who suffered from the ordeal.
Yeah, because she got abducted and like molested by some guy, and but Heather Mills, like as time went on, the story sort of changed, and Heather sort of inserted herself into the story. Yeah.
Number five, Mecca, who as a teenager admitted shoplifting, stole the identity of a top investigative reporter with the same name. Heather Mills, in a bid to land a TV job, the real journalist said Heather pretended to be her in meetings with top executives.
Fantastic.
Line number six, Heather's dad, Mark, who's 65, says she made up stories about him abusing her as a child.
So there you go. So there's your Paul McCartney's one-legged soon-to-be ex-wife watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Lean on me.
This email says, Rick, just to assure, oh, this is from, let's see, this is from Todd. Just to assure you, all the mic levels sound fine. Even as the Eddie Money song is playing right now, you sound fantastic. Well, it's hard not to sound fantastic with Eddie Money in the background. You know what we got to do? And we'll take a break here in a second. We'll come back. We're gonna take the, you know, it really is true when they say that problems are just opportunities in disguise. We are going to take advantage of this to get to a lot of news that we've been meaning to get to. This is a large pile of news that has been neglected by us in the past. So we're going to do some news. We've also got to give away, I think we've got other House of Midnight tickets, don't we? I believe we do. We got House of Midnight tickets, and we've got a whole shipment of books from The Onion that just arrived the other day. I mean, it's like 10 copies of their new book, and there's like 30 copies of their past books. So we got that as well. So what we should do, though, is we've got it's a huge pile of CDs lurking in the background of the studio. This is from several formats ago here at 107.5, which is where we're broadcasting from today. So we can do some sort of a... See, and the thing is, Sarah, we are now, as they say in political circles, we are now in your wheelhouse because you are a girl of... You're a child of the 80s. You are an 80s girl. Whatever this... Like, just hit the CD right here. See whatever this is. Just go ahead and... Part-Time Lover, right?
No!
Is this not Part-Time Lover?
This is Love is a Battlefield.
Oh, it sounds a lot like Part-Time Lover. You're sure this isn't Hang Up the Phone? Yeah, no.
Heartache.
Real live girls are waiting to talk to you now. All you need to be is like in front of a fireplace, like with a phone in one hand and a champagne flute in the other. $1.99 per minute, lover boy. I don't even know what this video is.
Oh my god, it's her fighting against her pimp, and they do this whole like dance.
Who's
sequence.
The pimp?
He's like, I don't know, greasy.
Is Pat Benatar? No, but I mean, is she a hooker?
She's fighting. She's like, love is a battlefield, and she's yelling at him, and then they do have this big choreographed dance, and they dance him away.
I'm confused about some things. The video for Love is a Battlefield has Pat Benatar as a whore.
Yeah, she's in like a big puffy green dress, I remember.
Because that's how
a lot of makeup. And
that's what really
him.
Gets the Johns, is Pat Benatar in a puffy green dress.
No, it's kind of a slutty green dress. And he's like smacking her around, and he walks in. He has like the kind of like how you looked at Aaron's wedding, like
Thank
the
you.
Hat with the feather.
Thank you for that. Does he have a cane of some kind?
Yes, I'm sure he has a cane.
A pimp stick. Fantastic. I don't think I've ever seen the video for this.
Oh, you would love / hate it.
Excellent. Well, no, and I thought it was Part-Time Lover. In my own defense, it has almost an identical introduction to Stevie Wonder's Part-Time Lover. So, see, that's what I'm saying. We are in, this is really your area of musical expertise. So we could actually give away some Onion books, and we could actually do a Name That Tune.
Ooh.
But the thing is, it, like you, Sarah Dillon, you could actually compete. You could be the listener's proxy. And unlike when we do the pop culture thing where I just school you, you might actually have a living, breathing, honest chance this time. Because, it's stuff from the 80s. I'm very, very fluent in 80s music until you get into just strict pop stuff like this. Like 80s rock, I'm really good at. 80s pop, I don't always know what I'm talking about there. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. So, Scotty, what we're going to do here, let's go ahead and take, let's go ahead and take caller number 5 here. And we'll do a Name That Leftover 80s Tune sitting around for no real reason in the studios of Movin' 107.5. Name that. We'll take caller 5. We'll come back. We'll do that around the corner. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's a Rick Emerson radio program. And we honestly can't believe it ourselves. Stay there. Back after this. I have nothing. Baby, you know my book is so for real. I used to put my faith in worship. But then I failed to get to heaven's plan. I used to worry about the future. But then I threw my caution to the wind. What is this?
It sounds like a really bad Jamiroquai.
As opposed to a really fantastic Jamiroquai.
Actually, I think this has to be him.
Woo! This is great. I could spend all day just going through these CDs. All right, let's see.
It is Jamiroquai.
Really? Oh, this is that Virtual Insanity. Well, but the first song was Third Base, so it can't all be Jamiroquai. All right.
I have another unlabeled one.
I don't care if anybody else finds this interesting or not. This was fantastic. All right. We'll go to Tim Riley here in just a moment. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, do we have... All right. These calls. This show is incredible. All right. You should do this every day, says this guy. What is this? Is this,
Is this
Show Me the Way by Styx? No.
Oh.
This is PM Dawn, Set Adrift of Memory Bliss?
No. That starts,
Is it Looking Through Patient Eyes?
Oh, I know the song.
What is this?
Too damn old for me?
You too damn note for me.
All that really mattered was you were my girlfriend.
Just jam in the lyrics. Doesn't matter if it fits the meter or not. It's not Skritti Politti, Scotty. Skritti Politti.
I think I remember this from like 8th grade.
Do sex you up and love you down mean the same thing? Discuss.
Remember when I drove you home from work?
Is this like...
bad?
Is this like a Mad Lib sort of thing? Do you remember when we were in that Aku restroom? I have some cranberry juice at my house. And I... oh, hello. Let's talk to Frank. Frank, you're on the Rick Emerson Soul train. How can I help
Rick,
you, sir?
This is so incredible. You know, it brings it back to my youth. You know, I'm not a child of... well, I guess I am a child of the 80s. I was born in 71. But, you know, senior high school, kind of amazing.
So you say the show is incredible. It's really not me or Sarah or anything that we're doing today, not Tim. It's just cool. The third baseman.
Oh, it's you. It's fair. It's everybody. It's just, you know, it's bringing back to my youth, you know.
Really? So is it because we're playing hits from today and back in the day?
Right. Right. So are these...
is it because
CDs,
we're...
are these CDs like mixed CDs that people have made?
No. Here's the thing. So we are broadcasting today. I'm saying this a lot because we do, even if we don't sound bad, because I think we've sorted out some of the technical issues that were plaguing this program early on today. I understand that people have told us that we sound different today, that our voices sound a little different. If our mic processing sounds different, or when we speak, if it sounds like we're talking, did we have more bass, or the voices just sound a little different than they normally do? It's because we're broadcasting from the studios of Movin' 107.5 today. We are doing a dry run for Lycus, who's going to be here next week. And here's the thing, is that this station, in the last 5 or 6 years, has gone through about 15 different formats. And
yeah,
every
right.
time
they
change formats...
107.5 at one point, weren't they?
And then, and before that, they were the Beat. And then there was something else before that. But every time they've changed formats, they've just sort of left the old CD collection here in the studio. And so we're just kind of going through and playing a lot of these music beds just sort of randomly. So, in any event. All right, well, we're glad you're digging it, my brother. Thank you.
Yeah, it's cool.
All right, there you go. There's Frank.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, he is your personal savior. He is a golden deity. He's at the Ministry of Truth. Kneel before him, that ye might be touched. Damn right.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
From Vancouver, BC comes one. The Canadian city is under pressure for alleged sexual harassment within its fire department. And they've ordered firefighters to wear only boxer-style underwear.
I'm so... okay. These are who? Canadians?
Canadian firefighters.
God, you know what? Canadians are just weird, man. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. Everybody's... look, as the Desiderata said... I just completely choked. I totally choked.
I have no idea what this person would have said.
I don't deserve to live!
Let's go play.
I am not an animal! I was going to, as the Desiderata said, shut your mouth. Go placidly amid the, with this voice processing, I can totally do my Les Crane voice. Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be. Open your mouth and say whatever crap comes into your head. Say, a lot. Rotate your tires.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Here's Tim Riley. So they have to wear boxer shorts. Why?
No, they do. Rachel in British Columbia will spend $16,000 Canadian dollars to buy six pairs of underwear for each firefighter in a bid to make fire halls in the suburb of Vancouver more gender neutral. We supply firefighters and various pieces of gear such as gloves, but now it's underwear, says city official Ted Townsend. It was part of the integration of the sexes in the workplace.
Well, because briefs are just weird. I'm like all of y'all. I have those dreams sometimes where I'm somewhere either nude or in my underwear. I don't have a lot of dreams where I show up nude somewhere. I know that's a common dream. I don't have that. I do have a lot of dreams where I show up somewhere in my underwear. But it's always in briefs, which I don't wear. I wear boxers. Because briefs just, they feel, like, I'll tell you this, like, I have answered the door before in my boxer shorts. Like, late at night, like the other night, did my neighbors come over?
late
at night when I talk to people in my underwear. It's the El DeBarge, baby. It's turned me into a sex machine. Write that down, Todd the Corpse. Nobody's ever said that before. It's the El DeBarge, baby. It's turned me into a sex machine. No, the other night, this is a funny story, actually. You know, we had these neighbors that live next door to us in our house that looks like a duplex, but which is not a duplex. And this is the neighbors who actually we discovered were stealing our toilet paper. I've told the story. We discovered first they stole our trash can, then they stole our toilet paper. Then they came for the gypsies, and I did not stand up because I was not a gypsy.
Not anymore, though. I met your new neighbor.
When did you meet my new neighbor?
I met her at an Altar Boys show last week. Her and her boyfriend live in the duplex with you.
It's not a duplex, and they're
listeners.
How did you know that they were my neighbors?
Because she came up to me and said she was a fan of the show, and she's like, oh, by the way, I live right next door to Rick. I'm like, did you steal his toilet paper? And she said, no, it was the people. They found
his toilet paper.
They found needles.
Yep.
His toilet paper is too rough.
Her name is Megan, I believe. Really nice
it
girl.
It is. All right, well, what a small, creepy world it is. Hello, yeah. Megan. I'm glad we're neighbors.
She prefers the two-ply.
Boy, I'm glad you stopped me before I said anything untoward about her, which I wouldn't have, because she seemed like a very nice...
She's very pretty.
Seemed like a very Christian young lady. No, but here's my thing. So, I do not live in a duplex, but I do live next door to a house.
Do you guys share a roof?
Shut up! No, oh, yeah, I do, but not. But no, we don't have a common wall. There's no common wall.
But you're connected by a common roof.
In a way, Sarah, we're all connected by a common roof.
And that's Jesus?
Metaphysically, yes. And that roof's name is Yahweh. No, but there's a hallway between our two... A hallway, not to be confused with Yahweh. There's a hallway between our two homes in which Laura and I store... We like as well buy crap in bulk, like our dog food or whatever. And so we keep our dog food and, like, a huge thing of, like...
Toilet paper.
Paper towels and toilet paper or whatever. But it's like Laura would come in, she would go to get a couple rolls to keep in the bathroom, and she'd be like, I swear to God, there was more toilet paper in the hallway. I don't know where it went to. And then she came to the shoes, I think our neighbors are stealing our toilet paper. And you realize that you can't go, like, that's not a conversation you can bring up. How could you even accuse them of that? Even if you think that they're doing it, how could you? Are you stealing my bung wipe? You know?
It's like, what if... So if you were standing there in boxers, that's a better time to get that point across.
Yeah, there's no... yeah, there's no... No, but so they moved. They're gone, baby. The neighbors, they were asked to leave.
So now this sweet young thing has moved in.
Yeah, I was not going to say that, but yes. A sweet, fine, firm-bodied young lady has moved in next door.
I'll show you her picture, Tim. She's really
cute. A sweet, young, succulent blossom of womanhood.
Toilet paper thievery would be the furthest thing from her mind.
I know, that's the first thing I said to her about them asking if she stole your toilet paper.
She's a sweet, young example of firm womanhood?
No, I asked if she stole your toilet paper.
So, no, well, that
was... she was saying how trash the other people left
it. All right, so that would explain it then. Okay, because... Now, is everybody up to speed now? Do we all know the background of the story? Because... Yeah. Two nights ago, it's like 10 o'clock at night, and I am, yes, walking around the house in my polka dot boxer shorts. And there's a knock at the door. And I sort of think, oh, God, it's the Jehovah's Witnesses again. And so I open the door, get ready to angrily bark at them to get off my lawn. And it's this, like, hot chick. And she's all, hello. And I'm all, hello. And she says, we just moved in next door. I'm moving in a couch. Can you turn on your porch light? And I said, and this is how trashy we are. I said, well, I'd love to turn on my porch light, except our light bulb burned out like a year ago, and I've never replaced it. And she's like, I have a light bulb. And so this girl is moving in next door. She's like, I have a light bulb. Would you like it? And I said, yes. This is a gripping story, isn't it?
Do you have your own ladder?
Tell us more.
No, so this woman who's moving in next door, she goes and she gets a light bulb from their house, brings it over so that I can have light again on my porch because they're bringing in the couch. And then her, but then her parting statement to me was, she said, we're moving in next door. And then as she's walking away, this all makes so much sense now. She says, and I promise not to steal your toilet paper. And then she walked away, and it was weird. And I told Laura, and Laura's like, who was that? And I go, that's some chick moving in next door. And the weirdest thing, honey, she said as she was leaving, I promise not to steal your toilet paper. And I had no idea how she knew that the last people to live next door to me were stealing the toilet paper. But now I know because she knows, because she ran into you. It's all, man, what a weird freaking world we live in. God damn. And yeah, then she said they found syringes, though, in the basement.
Yeah.
They moved. So the people that were living next door to us were not, I don't know, they were not only stealing our toilet paper, but they were using it to sop up their blood as they injected themselves with drugs. God. Southeast, baby. Represent. Here's Tim Riley.
So getting back to this fireman in their boxer shorts story.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So I walk around the house in my boxer shorts. I have answered the door in my boxer shorts before. I would never answer the door in my briefs, ever. It's not a thing I would do. In your briefs, you feel like your tackle's all out there for everybody to see. You feel like you're exposed. But in your boxer shorts, that's only one step away from a swimsuit, really. You know, your boxer shorts.
So why are the firemen getting boxer shorts, you ask?
Why, Tim?
Well, a recent investigation of the department described its workplace culture as characterized by juvenile and hostile behavior
to
firefighters by their mere colleagues.
I don't know anything about juvenile and hostile behavior.
Firefighters strip off most of their clothes in order to don protective gear while responding to alarms, and a little bit too much might have been showing at times. Therefore, no more boxer shorts for firemen, especially if the ladies are around. Okay. Canadian problem solved.
Okay. Rick. About one-legged people hopping around at night. I am not Paul McCartney, and I do not have a gajillion dollars, or this is from a woman, but I did date a guy that only had one leg. He had no problem getting to the bathroom at night. There was one occasion, however, when I groggily asked my one-legged boyfriend to bring me a glass of water as he maneuvered his way out of bed one very early and dehydrated on my part morning. He paused for a good long beat, and then we both just laughed hysterically as we envisioned how much water would actually be left in the glass once he made it back into the bedroom. I'm just saying. Penelope, or Penelope, as I used to say. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, a North Carolina dad asking Toys R Us to take a popular toy from the shelves because the one given to a six-year-old son utters a curse word. The toy is a police officer that includes a nightstick and a utility belt. The recorded message that includes the curse word plays, but the nightstick is removed from the belt. I had to explain to parents why my son was saying the F word. It's horrible, says...
It's a cop doll that says the F word when you take its nightstick out?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's really a cute little toy, but God forbid it's not what I want my kid hearing. Morton told the AP that he returned the toy to the Jeffrey Toy Store, where he bought it and played it for store managers, who agreed to give him a new set with a recording that didn't include the obscenity. So I guess you have your choice of two different ones. He kept the original, to play the recorded message, including the apparent curse word over the telephone. Jeffrey is owned by Toys R Us. A spokesman for Toys R Us said they only had two complaints about this thing so far, so what's the big deal, really?
This email about Family Ties reunion. Rick, when you asked... Oh, I never thought about this. When you asked Tina Yothers if there would be a Family Ties reunion, she simply said that wouldn't be happening. As, of course, she said, I took that to mean probably because of Michael J. Fox's condition. Yeah, you know, I feel like a tool. That never even occurred to me.
Mm.
Because I just get, you know... How often do you sit and think about Michael J. Fox? Never even occurred to me. By the way, I demand that Scotty J. go as Scotty J. Fox. And then it's signed, back the hell up, Michael in Seaside. All right, thank you, sir. Here's Tim Riley.
I wonder what Scotty's children call him. Would it be Daddy J?
I would say that guy, hey you. All right, Mommy, the strange man is in my room again.
Quit drinking.
All right. Oh, we got to do that contest.
Yeah.
That was like an hour ago.
Are we giving away valuable prizes?
Well, look, I have to say this, that we have this call screening software that I use in which Scotty types up the callers on the screen and often pithy remarks.
We're going to give that away.
No, you know, I have to say this. We will do the contest here in like five seconds. I actually, this is my own fault. And so, Daryl Sterling, I apologize to all of you. I actually had reduced to the bottom of the screen the call screening software because Scotty's normally amusing remarks were making my blood pressure, they were making my blood pressure peak a little bit. There was a little bit of tension in the room earlier today as we were attempting to narrow down where exactly the technical problems in the program are emanating from and exactly how best to solve them. And Scotty, God love him, was being his normal, usual, witty self. And it was working out poorly for all of us. So I just had
to... They serve a different brand of coffee here than they serve...
I think the coffee here is laden with methamphetamine. I believe that's actually where part of that originates from. And so I simply had reduced the software to the bottom of the screen because all of Scotty's comments, which normally made me smile and chuckle heartily, were just instead urging me to kill him and to bathe in his blood. And so I decided that I didn't want to... best not to communicate with Scotty for a while until I was in a better place mentally. I'm at that place now. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Daryl. Daryl, how are you, sir?
Hello, how's it going?
Daryl, what's up with you, brother?
Oh, nothing, just out of Burger King here in Wilsonville waiting for you.
It's a good life, isn't it? All right. So, Daryl, here's the thing. Because Sarah Dillon's wheelhouse is 80s music knowledge. Here's what we're going to do. We got a pair of tickets to House of Midnight, which is, they bill that as the world's most intense Halloween experience. It's 20 minutes south of Portland. The Bullwinkles Family Fun Center parking lot. Find out more at houseofmidnight.com. What we're going to do is, we are going to pick an 80s song at random. Don't go cherry picking. You're looking at the CD labels.
At random?
Tim should pick one.
Well, if you expect me to know them, I'm going to have to know what song it is.
How about if I have a blindfold on?
What the hell does that mean?
Oh, I didn't know I was going up against them.
Well, you should play for the listener, don't you think? Because this
God,
is...
God, no. No, no, no. I want
them to
be able
to win.
Because
this is what you know. No, 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 but you know 80s music. You've schooled... You know, you've
know
got like three-quarters of these.
I know 80s soft rock. A lot of these... I don't know. There was some like butt rock station here earlier because there's like a lot of Tesla and...
She's
like
the contest rigged so that I can't possibly win.
No, well, I think you should go against the
Daryl, how confident do you feel in your ability to identify a random song from the 1980s?
Well, I felt better till I heard those three you played before that commercial break, and I went, uh-oh.
Okay, well, put it this way, Sarah. How about either you or Daryl may buzz in?
Okay.
So Daryl will play assisted, that is to say augmented, by you.
I just picked one at random.
Okay, so we are here at the studios of Movin' 107.5, where they've got a huge selection of CDs left over from past format changes. And so the deal is we will play the song, and Daryl, if you know it, buzz in by saying your name. Just say Daryl. Sarah, same thing. Obviously, you buzz in by saying your name. If I know it, I will buzz in by saying Rick. If either of you guys gets this, Daryl, you will win a pair of passes to House of Midnight, which is outside of Portland by about 20 minutes. All right?
Sounds good.
All right, brother. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado.
This is 5405.
This is CD 5405 from the 107.5 Library of Tunes. All right, here you go. Rick.
Oh.
Black Velvet, Alanna Miles.
It.
Yeah.
In your face.
Oh.
All right, there you go. Daryl, sorry about that,
no,
brother.
We can do a couple of them.
All right, give me
I think Jim Roop's on the phone. Let's see if we can pick him up.
All right. Let's see if this is Jim Roop. Hello, Jim Roop.
Jim Roop?
Jim Roop.
Yes, man.
Yay!
Jim Roop, it's Rick Emerson and Sarah Dillon. How are you?
I'm well.
And Tim Riley.
And Tim Riley. Tim Riley is here as well. How is your day going, brother?
It's going well.
Yeah, you just, have you been drinking a little bit today?
No. Are we directly on the air?
We're on the air right now.
Oh, goodness gracious. What happened to your phone answer guy?
Well, he's indisposed at the moment.
He's in the head, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had a bit of a day here, technically speaking. We've had, let me just put it this way. We had scheduled Bob Costantini earlier. That didn't happen. We scheduled Gary Baumgarten earlier. That didn't happen. We had several listeners try to come on. That didn't happen.
Hmm.
We tried to do any number of live commercials and music beds. That also did not happen. You calling up and getting right on the air is actually the first thing that's gone technically right all day long here, Jim Roop.
Sorry to break the streak, pal.
No. God bless you for that, Jim Roop. All right. We're in the midst of a contest. Do you mind just hanging out and listening?
Not at all.
All right. Daryl, you still there?
Hey, I'm there. How's it going, Jim?
Daryl, are you able to hear Jim? Jim, can you hear Daryl?
No, I cannot hear
I'm sorry, Daryl. Your big chance of the brush with fame, and you can't hear him. This was listener Daryl, Jim, asking how you are.
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, okay, Daryl, we're going to do this one more time. We are going to... See, because here's the thing, Jim Roop, is we are broadcasting from a different studio today. We are broadcasting from the studios of Movin' 107.5, which is one of our very fine sister stations here. In preparation for Tom Likas being live in the studio next week, we are broadcasting from the studio to iron out any glitches, and there were many. but it's all made up for by the fact that they have apparently left all of the music libraries from previous format changes just sitting around the studio.
Ooh.
So we are doing a name that's a randomly picked 80s song contest with our audience. All right, here we go. It's contest the second. All right, Daryl, if you know the song, you buzz in. Here we go.
Oh, Sarah.
Okay.
I would walk...
Oh, it's the Proclaimers.
I would walk 900
is that?
Miles.
Oh, I love this song.
500.
I would walk 500 miles. I'm going
to
be...
You get the tickets, Daryl. Woo!
Daryl, what station is sending you to House of Midnight?
The House of Midnight Love, is it 107.5 or is it 97?
Okay, thanks, Daryl. I appreciate that. Daryl, go to the
room. My question, Daryl, 107.5 or is it from 970, you know? I'll say 970.
Don't be a wiseacre, Daryl. All right, there you go. Daryl, Scotty's going to talk to you and get your information. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That went well.
Best contest ever. Jim Roop's still here.
It's part of the best show ever. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. What's up in your world, brother man?
A little bit of everything, sir, and a whole lot of...
All right, well, let me ask you this. Before we get to this, you have a pretty interesting story about iPod today. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But before we get to that, we had this story yesterday, and I am amazed that they did not have you talking about this already. Have you been following this O.J. Simpson story, this book?
Oh, the book, no.
Okay, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, now I will, granted, this story was broken by the National Enquirer, but you and I both know that that is a lot more reliable than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
The National Enquirer is no longer a story. The magazine just makes things up whole cloth. And this, I've seen, is now relayed by several other organizations, including the Associated Press. And I'm giving you the heads up here. Now, we do a little bit here called We Read the Tabloids, so you don't have to. But this is in this week's National Enquirer. And again, the reason that you give it credence is the Enquirer, as I was telling Sarah about this yesterday, I was kind of giving a history of how the Enquirer went from being unreliable to reliable. The Enquirer now, and Mike Walker will be happy to just go on and on and on about this, that when the Enquirer comes out and says something is fact now, they don't do it unless they are damn sure of it. The Enquirer no longer says that something is a fact unless they think they've got it. And
well, that's due to a lot to Walker's work.
Exactly. And they got hit so hard in that Carol Burnett lawsuit years ago. And yeah, Mike Walker has really worked hard to overhaul the National Enquirer. Anyway, so they are stating this as fact. And it's the cover story this week. O.J. Simpson writes book for $3.5 million and confesses. Now, I will not go on and on about the story and read the whole thing again. But the gist of the story is this. O.J. Simpson is being paid $3.5 million. Now, it is for a book whose working title is If I Did It. Now, in the book, which is, again, the working title of which is If I Did It, O.J. Simpson, after a page and a half preface in which he states that everything which is to follow is hypothetical, then walks the reader through a minute-by-minute, blow-by-blow account of how he committed the murders and escaped.
Huh.
It's the weirdest story. It is... I know that it's on the front of the Enquirer, but, you know, that doesn't stop people, in other stories. I cannot believe that unless there is just some sort of an unspoken thing in the other media outlets that they're not going to give this guy any more attention. I cannot believe that nobody's talking about it, because the deal is that he struck a deal to write this book. He does this page and a half preface in which he says, now everything that follows is hypothetical and theoretical and not real at all, and I'm just speculating. But then he goes, and people who've read the galleys of the book say that it is so detailed and so minute the minutiae is such that there is no doubt that he is taking you through a minute-by-minute account of the night on which he committed these murders.
Now, who's the publisher of this book?
It doesn't say who the publisher is, actually. I was just going through this right here. They don't say who the publisher is, but they say that he's scheduled to come out before the end of the year and that he was paid $3.5 million for it, that it is a tell-all blockbuster that has remained the most explosive secret in publishing, and its publication date is apparently only weeks away.
Hmm.
So... maybe are you interested? Maybe you're not. But it's a pretty warped and interesting story. And the Enquirer is not presenting it as speculation. They are presenting it as a fact. So there you go, Jim Roop. There's a little bit of that.
At the very least, like to read that book.
I mean, it is. Well, that's the thing. And I'm telling you this right now, Shades of John and Ken. And I'm telling you, if this book turns out to be true, I'm going to spearhead a movement just to make it freely available on the Internet so he makes no money from it. So there you go. Yeah. Telling you right now. Hey, speaking of stuff being freely available on the Internet, I do not have an iPod. I have this thing called a Creative Jukebox. It's an MP3 player, but it's not an iPod. Now, my wife has an iPod, and I've said for the longest time that one of the reasons I don't have one is because the iPod has, it's like everything Apple computer makes. It has all this the weird, freaky, proprietary software, so that, like, stuff that you buy from the iTunes store, like, only works on the iPod. Right. Like, you have to go through 50 other steps to make it work anywhere else. And, like, stuff that's on an iPod, like, you can't stick it on any other computer and whatever. But there's some guy saying that he's cracked the Apple system, right?
Yeah, DVD John, the guy from Norway who, when he was just 15, 7 years ago, he cracked that code so that you could now copy DVDs. The music industry had that copy protect on.
Right, right.
And he cracked that code and he posted that on his internet site. This one he's going to charge for, though.
And so it's like, but it's a thing. And where is he at? He's in what country is he in?
He's a Norway native. Where he actually is, I don't know. But he's a Norwegian guy.
But he's some guy that does a lot of these weird, you know.
Yeah, he's a hacker.
Yeah, which is great. And again, I am really honestly not advocating the piracy. I'm not advocating illegality, people break any laws or whatever. But I'm going to tell you, man, you know, my wife is getting an iPod that she paid, whatever those things are, like $300, $400.
Yeah.
I mean, pays for it, then buys the songs off iTunes from the Apple Music Store. And then they go out of their way to make sure that you can't possibly actually do anything with the music. It's the most frustrating, infuriating thing on earth. I mean, it really is the kind of thing that makes you want to engage in music piracy.
Well, not only that, but she can't take something from another website, like Napster or something.
Right, right.
And then put that on her iPod.
It's very, it is a very, very difficult piece of equipment to work with in some ways.
Right.
So this would make it fantastic. This would solve all of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's treading very well on this one. You know, the last one with the copy protect on DVDs, he got himself in a lot of trouble. This one, he consulted lawyers first.
Yeah, right.
And lawyers are making sure, you know, there's this reverse engineering illegal groundwork that hasn't been really tested yet, and so he's walking on that, and that's what his lawyers are advising him. And there's one other person that works with him. She apparently is a lawyer, or at least a spokesperson. She says that Apple can give them trouble, but they can't stop them.
Well, and especially he's in Norway too, and those people make their own law over there. Just a bunch of guys riding around on mastodons, with, you know, drinking out of a horn.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's true. All right. Jim Root, my brother, thank you for being one ray of golden journalistic sunshine in what has been a very trying day.
Well, you are more than kind, sir.
Oh, by the way, apparently when Baumgarten called in and there was some difficulty with the phone line, he wasn't able to get in. Apparently, Scotty J called Laura Caviezel to try to reschedule, and she just bitterly said no and hung up.
You're kidding?
I don't know. Don't pass that along. I haven't confirmed that. Don't repeat that, please.
I won't.
I haven't confirmed that, but that was the way he reported it back to me. So, just let's keep that between us for now.
I will.
Best show ever.
Thank you very much.
Jim Roop, God bless you. Go with the Lord today, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, brother. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Roop.
Let me,
thank you. All right. Let Prince Rogers Nelson take you away. You know, you listen to this music, you can just, like, feel that Aquanet hair crunching in your hands while you make out with some chick underneath the bleachers. I love Prince. Anybody doesn't like Prince, you can get the hell out of my country. Seriously. If you don't like Prince, you are no American, sir. You are no American. Times. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 503-733-2970. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the best show ever. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.